une suite à la responsabilisation, et celle-ci, je veux parler de generational trauma. Un sujet assez controversé de l'heure pour les personnes multiculturelles, souvent afro-américaines, qui est mon cas. C'est un sujet que je trouve intéressant parce que, autant qu'il y a des livres qui ont été écrits là-dessus, qu'il y a des gens qui promouvoient ça comme étant une chose qui est tout à fait néfaste et vraiment négative, qui a un impact direct sur le comportement des gens et le pourquoi du comment qu'on agit d'une certaine façon. Puis je veux vraiment prendre la peine d'en parler, parce que je trouve que c'est un sujet qui est important, particulièrement pour les gens, comme que je disais, qui sont soit... En fait, pour tout le monde, parce que je vais lire une définition, je vais lire ce que j'entends, je vais vous conter ce que j'ai entendu et compris, et par la suite, on va en parler un peu plus, les implications ainsi que l'impact qu'on a à justement arrêter ce trauma-là dans notre vie et dans notre famille. Donc, generational trauma, also called intergenerational trauma and transgenerational trauma, is passed down through generations in families. Il y a certaines personnes qui voudraient croire que génétiquement, on aurait des traumas qui ont été passés depuis nos ancêtres. Par exemple, dans mon cas, ça aurait été l'esclavage. Puis je trouve ça vraiment... Je trouve ça vraiment particulier de dire ça de cette façon-là, parce que les gènes, je pense pas que les gènes fonctionnent de cette façon-là. Je ne suis pas un scientifique, je ne suis pas quelqu'un qui décode la génétique. Cependant, de ce que je comprends des gènes, c'est une ligne de code biologique qui définit quel genre de corps que tu vas avoir, corps physique. Fait que, par exemple, si jamais tu as évolué à devenir une personne qui court vite parce que tu t'es souvent fait chasser, ton corps va devenir plus athlétiquement apte à courir, par exemple. Ça va être dans ton ADN. Ça, je le sais. L'autre chose que je peux savoir aussi, c'est que tu peux développer ton ouïe, tu peux développer des réflexes de façon générationnelle, génétiquement, parce que t'en as eu besoin pour survivre, puis les gens qui avaient ces traits-là, qui sont tous des traits physiques, ont eu des meilleures chances à survivre. So that's how evolution works, usually. And we're taught this early, like 11th grade, if I'm not mistaken, and somewhere around that. So I have a very hard time giving credit to the fact that generational trauma could be genetic. That's just one part, and we'll leave it at that. But the real problem here is generational trauma being not trivialized, but behavior-wise, it's like people say, oh, that's just how things are. And so they don't do anything to change that. And there is an experiment that I will tell you about. I think it's called the ladder experiment. I'm getting this information from the website Intersol. I saw a few videos on this. And this is a organizational culture experiment, right? So here is how it goes. On met 5 singes dans une cage. On met aussi une échelle et des bananes au-dessus de l'échelle, tout en haut. Quand un singe monte pour prendre des bananes, on arrose les quatre autres singes d'eau froide. Une fois que ça se répète quelques fois, les singes qui se font arroser se fâchent et battent le singe qui monte en haut de l'échelle. Donc, on a une routine qui est venue s'installer parce que, à cause qu'une personne a des bananes, les autres en dessous ont quelque chose de négatif. Donc, c'est vraiment action-réaction, c'est direct. Cependant, on substitue un des quatre singes. Et quand ce nouveau singe-là monte en démarche de l'échelle pour aller chercher les bananes, on n'arrose pas les singes, mais quand il redescend, on le bat. On le bat parce qu'on est... On continue à arroser les singes. Non, c'est ça, on a... Excusez. Je vais le lire, là. So one by one, each of the monkeys in the cages were substituted for a new monkey until none of the original group remained. Every time a new monkey went up the ladder, the rest of the group pulled him off, even those who had never been sprayed by icy water. Parce que chaque fois, par la suite, on remplaçait un des singes, puis il arrivait la même situation, parce que tout le monde agissait de la même façon, donc on battait la personne qui montait en démarche. Même s'il n'y avait plus d'eau froide qui se faisait arroser sur les singes. Puis à la fin, si on demandait aux 5 singes qui ont tous été substitués, fait que les 5 nouveaux singes qui sont dans la cage, pourquoi vous faites ce que vous faites, ils nous répondraient probablement « on ne le sait pas ». Donc ici, on a une forme organisationnelle culturelle qui explique pourquoi certaines choses sont la façon qu'elles sont, parce que et l'excuse qu'on se donne, c'est « Ah, c'est juste comme ça que tout... c'est juste comme ça que c'est. That's just the way things are. » And I think we've moved, just culturally speaking, socially speaking, we've moved a long way from that, but we created new routines with that. So, we've moved a long way from the wife should stay home. That was like a culturally accepted idea from the 50s until, you know, uprising and rebellion and just people wanting to be heard and valued for their for what they are, which is totally legitimate. But today, the same thing is happening with other subjects. So we'll talk about that later, but some of these subjects are, for instance, disagreeing on things that we don't fully understand yet. Like socially right now, it's going to be things mostly around sexuality, gender identity, and all of these subjects, which are very, for some reason, very, very touchy and sentimental, where with cancel culture, it's the exact same thing that we're going through with the monkey analysis, where if you talk or you say something that somebody doesn't like, or with words that usually are attached to something that could be considered hate, then everybody lashes out at you instead of having a civil conversation and discourse, even though we're like evolved, we have computers, cell phones, you know, we have all these things, but yet humans are emotional creatures. So we still have those issues with communication, basic communication. So let's go back to generational trauma and how it has a direct impact on your family and even how you treat your spouse and children. How that breaks down is that you are, there is some that would say that you're a result of your environment. I don't know exactly from who's that from, so are a result from your environment. Let's see. All right, so this is um, It's a quote from nope, that's not the one. Anyways, basically, I will look it up and let you guys know. Psychologically, there is an ideology that says that we are a result of our environment. So whatever we've been through or we've experienced has a direct impact on who we are as people. And you know, people that are dealing with trauma would be able to, with help, be able to tell you exactly that is the case. Even people with, you know, not heavy trauma, but still, we all have some type of trauma. I know trauma is a very strong word, but that's just a category of things that happen to you that have a direct impact negatively on what you're doing in everyday life. So, j'utilise vraiment ce mot-là avec réflexion. Donc, pourquoi je suis pas d'accord avec le generational trauma? C'est à cause que je peux comprendre que moi, ça a été le clash culturel, right? Parce que mon père, il est haïtien, moi je suis né au Québec, je suis canadien, québécois, français. Et ma réalité ici au Québec est complètement différente de la réalité en Haïti. Sauf que mon père, lui, a été élevé en Haïti. Avec une différence culturelle qui est drastiquement mise en lumière dans l'éducation de ses enfants. Fait que, sans rentrer trop en détail à ce niveau-là, il y a des choses qui ont été faites et que j'ai vécues qui m'ont affecté pendant longtemps, mais ça reste que the bottom line that I'm trying to say, basically, and we're gonna end on, I'm just kidding, we're not gonna end on that, but the bottom line is you have the ability to stop whatever negative thing is happening to you and not do it to the next generation, right? So if your parents were behaving a certain way with you, you should, and you didn't like that, you don't have to fall into this perverse circle of perpetuating the things that were wrong about your education or how you interact with others. I don't remember which artist said that you shouldn't, it's Mike Tyson said that if you let somebody else have an impact negatively on your emotions, you let them win. They basically have dominion over you because they are able to control you without you wanting it. That's a very powerful statement because it's also saying that when you do things that are out of your control, you're giving away your identity. You're giving away control of yourself. And that's very important to be able to understand that, because when you do that, you might do things that your rational self is not okay with. Right? And you want to be able to stay in control. So there's a lot of things that you could do that we've spoken about already to work on that, right? But the fact remains that intergenerational trauma, the fact that, let's say, a lot of Black people keep blaming, I'm going to use it in the terms that I've heard of them before, Black people blaming white people for their struggles, their issues, when they have 100% control of their own actions and behaviors, to me, is that is actually some form of generational trauma, because the idea here, I think it's really romanticized, but because of the slavery that happened way back when, there are still lingering emotions that have imprinted themselves genetically and generationally, so that today those same people are still, they still have the
the slave mindset and they still feel like victims, even though in our society, au Québec, there is a bunch of resources accessible for people that are either under wealthy or minorities. There are a ton. There's even like most universities are going out of their ways to make sure that people that are underrepresented in the higher education get a chance at going in and being examples for the next generation to elevate our society. That's also a thing. So to me, to say that, oh, I'm like this because of generational trauma, I would agree to an extent, but now it's your time to make it stop. The kingdom that you are building, my friend, as a new sentient, in-controlled human being is entirely up to you to a certain extent. But like every action that you're taking, if you're not in control of what you're doing, you're either too, like, you have a diagnosis that is not yet available. Sorry. I sneezed. My bad. Or you're just not taking the right actions to take control of your life. The things that you can control are immediately your own actions. The things that you can't control are randomized events that you really have no control over. Like the chaos that is part of our world can have an impact on you. The same way you can develop a tumor or a cancer or have an unlucky accident and things like that. That's just part of the chaos of the world, and you have really no control over that to an extent. Of course, if you take your car, you always have the chance of being in a car accident. But if you don't take your car, you don't. So that's just pure logic. That being said, are you going to stop yourself from evolving and achieving everything you can because there's chaos out there? No. Like, every time you eat, you have a chance of choking, and yet you still eat all the time. So that's not really an excuse to stop doing anything that you're doing or going for anything that you want to do, because chaos is still somewhat a controlled environment where limited possibilities of things can happen. And so there is a certain level of predictability in that, and how you behave in that chaos will help determine what chances you have to achieve success or failure. And again, failure is just another reason to try again and to learn. It's not something that should be frowned upon. It's just a word that means it has a definition, but you don't have to give it power or meaning. That's another thing. Like, giving power to words is very, very strong. It's Tyler, the Creator. I heard him say something very interesting about saying the word nigger, where it's like, why can black people say nigger between each other, but then when a white person or another person says it, we give it the derogative power of master-slave energy, right? When it has no, like, that has no meaning anymore unless it's used as an insult. But like, the same way I think a lot of people feel comfortable with some of their close friends, calling them nigger, even though they're not black, I think that has the right energy to it, where in Creole, that's just part of the language. There's a certain part of the cultural dialect that appropriated this word with a new definition. And that's very interesting to me, because if you look at Haitians, French, Spain, French people, Spanish people, and let me look at Creole real quick. English, French, Portuguese has its roots in the Creole language. And obviously, the base language of whatever was spoken back before these slavers came in and robbed the place of all their resources. But that being said, that's history. So Creole is interesting because it's evolved. And, you know, in Portuguese, negro, if I'm not mistaken, is this does mean black. In French, negre was probably borrowed from the same ideal of blackness because of the darker skin pigment, but was eventually considered derogative in regards to, like, we're calling you guys blackies because that's just what you are and you're worth less than us because we're pure, we're white, or whatever was thought of way back when. Same with the English. And the language evolved in such a way, and it's still evolving today like every other language in the world, as neg. So the expression, let's say negla, that person, that's literally translates to that person. But again, when you listen to it, it has like a French tonality to it. It's like, oh, he said nigger. But factually speaking, a lot of Black Americans come from these places, come from Africa, come from the Caribbeans, and they have these language that have history and dialect to them, that they use the word in a way that is non-derogative. And that's how they give a positive energy, a positive definition to a word. So anything that you use, language speaking, if you give it power, you basically let it control whatever that means or that says. And I really want to hit the hammer on the nail on the fact that we give definition and meaning to things as people. We all have that power. You don't have to accept anything. Like, personally, I might be diagnosed on a spectrum, personally, I would think that. But I'm not just giving in to, oh, the doctor said this, and so I'm done. Like, this is my label, and I'm gonna give it the power that it's been assigned by a doctor or a professional, and I'm not gonna do something about it. And I'm just gonna let it rule my life. I don't think that's legitimate. I do understand that there is a nuance with people that have a very severe diagnosed issue where they need medication because there is a chemical imbalance that is purely physical, and I can understand that. But when we come to the heart and the mind without illness, I think you have the power to achieve whatever you want to achieve. Even though, let's say you have dyslexia and it's harder for you, it doesn't mean that it's impossible. It's just harder. Like, I have slight dyslexia and I hated reading because of that. I hate doing crossword puzzles. I hate doing a bunch of things that I let that have an impact in my life. And I still stubbornly practiced reading, and I might not be the best at it, but I'm definitely much better because I've practiced and I've read a lot. And that's just how things are. You know how if you play video games or anything that's randomized, you could get a number between 1 and 10? I want to paint you this picture, all right? Everybody has 10 points to allocate to every ability that you can imagine in the world. And everything under those 10 points that are not attributed one of these points are just regular things that everybody can do, like breathing, eating, just some regular basic stuff. So, let's say you have the social aspect. You have the emotional aspect, you have the physical aspect, you have the intellectual aspect, and let's go for those four for now. And you could kind of like go in between whatever. There might be some smaller categories, but you have to give those 10 points to some of these things. And we're not all born equal. Some people might even have only 5 points to attribute to these things. Some people might have 20 points to attribute to these things. And you have to still go on living, eating, breathing, shitting, all the stuff. Right? Like, life is not fair in any way and or form. You're not owed anything. You have to achieve, like, the air you breathe, simple as that. You have to breathe to have it in your lungs. You have to pull the muscle to pull it in your lungs. It's not owed to you. You have to do an effort. You have to expense something to have access to live. That's just how life works. So even though you have 5 points to move up and evolve compared to somebody that has 20 points, it is going to be harder for you. 100%. Does that mean it's impossible? No. Does that mean you can't go beyond, above and beyond someone that's a 20? No, doesn't either. Does it mean that you can reach level 50 as a 5 and somebody that's level 20 can reach a level 200? Yeah, that might happen. You have no control over that, nor should you bother to consider those odds. You should be focusing on what you can achieve as a person according to your limitations. Because it's worth much more. The level of dedication and energy that you have to pour into things as yourself, having weaknesses, and to be able to achieve things is much greater than somebody that has a natural talent for it. And that's okay. And you should be proud of yourself and you should be happy. You shouldn't be jealous. We are not all born the same. You seriously, just don't think about it. Don't consider it. And I think that's a huge problem today with a lot of people not understanding that fact, that the way you look, the way you can think, the way that you can do sports or connect with people, we each and all have different abilities, and we each have the opportunity to make those grow. You could be 100% physical, but if you wanted to be intellectual, you'll have to work very hard to achieve that. But it's still there. You can definitely still do it. And you're still physically very apt. So you have an advantage there whenever you need it. So again, generational trauma, with everything that's being said and done, can most definitely be cut off from your life as soon as you take the active decision to do it. There's no reason for you not to take decisive action and to start changing things in your life. Ça n'a pas besoin d'être des gros changements. Des petites choses. Une chose à la fois. It's like working out. You don't start off working out for 3 hours straight and saying, I'm buff. You start off with not even a push-up. Half a push-up. And in 3 months, you can do 3 push-ups. You might have not started to somebody that had a 10 in physics, in physical energy, but you most definitely evolved from a 0 to a 3. And that's good on you. All right? So that being said, bonne journée, prenez soin de vous, prenez le contrôle de vos vies, mesdames et messieurs, s'il vous plaît. Messieurs, réfléchissez, parce qu'on a un impact direct sur comment le monde va changer, et c'est 100% de votre ressort.